Jay, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us.
Oh, thank you guys.
So I wanted to talk with you about your new show, Everyone Poops. It's the name of a very famous children's book and maybe doesn't really make sense with the paintings I'm seeing here, but I'm going to let you tell me if that's
okay,
true.
Well, yeah, okay. All right, yeah. I mean, the name obviously is kind of a, you know, goofy name, and I think a lot of, maybe a non-traditional name for an art show, but really it comes from this book that I was read from as a kid. But largely, I liked it because it's this unity through flaws or through goofy body functions, you know, and it's the concept that, because the show is mostly based around family and the concept of family and how inside of every connection there is these joyful moments and then there's simultaneously these moments of just pain and difficulty, and I liked the idea that that's the line for most people, that like, you know, someone who will clean up after you, clean up your poop or your puke, emotionally and metaphorically, that's family. And also at the same time too, you know, it is very human and very natural and 100% going to happen, that the more that you care for someone, the more likelihood that you're going to poop right on their heads, you know what I mean? Or hurt them in some kind of fashion. And so the show comes from a large divorce I had in my family, you know, and so it kind of sent all of us to the winds in a way. And I went back and kind of looked at the things that we all did to kind of bust up the team, in a matter of speaking. And you see in these images this time before time, almost this other place, and there were seeds of that happening then. And so you can, there's this soft darkness and this real joy inside of each painting. And I really wanted something that kind of made everyone who came into the show feel as if this could be their family, this could be their life, this could be their art show. It's not this something ceremonial. It's for everyone. It's everyone, and it's everyone poops, you know, so.
As we were saying that, we're at Fort Works Art, where your show is, and I'm staring at it. I believe it's called Elephant Face, is that right?
Elephant's Child.
Oh, yeah. Elephant's Child, excuse me. And, you know, these masks of, they're sort of the mask you might get at a birthday party that has like an elephant trunk or like a bird's beak or a witch's nose or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, the face is obstructed, but in the foreground is maybe a mother, maybe an aunt who like is happy, but like you said, there's that foreground of darkness and you can't really tell if the child's happy.
Right.
You know, can you talk about the covering of faces in these intimate moments that play a theme throughout your show?
Yeah, exactly. I really went for that because first off, it was a tactic for indirect portraiture, so that whenever you were looked at it, you were allowed to put yourself into it, and it wasn't so direct as to just declare itself. Now, there's a couple images that do, and there's an intention there. But this one and some of the other ones with the obscured faces and the masks and so forth, the idea is to create implied lines in that, like, their emotions and expressions can exist somewhere for you, and you're allowed to take them. But this one, for instance, the mother's in the back, and she's in this kind of soft darkness, and she has this pleasant, you know, maybe like pleasant weight to her. Maybe like it's been a long day, and she just wants to sit, and she's happy, but there's maybe just this constant running of adulthood through her head, what's next? Whereas he is in the front, and I'm sure he thinks he's some sort of dragon or leviathan or some sort of creature in that moment with multiple noses and faces, but there's a massive disconnection between their moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's exhausted and facing reality, and he exists in a place of complete potential energy. And I think that that's a really natural thing for family, and it can happen every day, but it also can be the foundation for us for a large disconnect, you know? Whereas it's also a little beautiful moment, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I wanted to inject here. And as another little add, the names of all of the paintings are based off of Kipling poems and short stories. Mm-hmm. Because my grandfather read me this Kipling book that was basically crumbling the whole time he read it to me. And so they all have little connections, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I would not be breaking news here when I say that art helps us to understand some things that are maybe bigger than us as human beings. You know, they emotionally pull upon what we believe, do, and feel. You know, you mentioned that this show comes from a divorce that was that took place in your life and obviously had some sort of effect that you could remember things so distinctly. Can you talk about delving into your personal, you know, experiences and painting such vivid imagery and then sharing that with the world? I mean, this is your first solo oil painting exhibition.
Yeah.
And you came out you came out gangbusters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really didn't know. I didn't understand how much it was going to affect me. You know, I kind of planned on these images, and I planned on trying to approach them as instead of painting my father or my uncle, I would put a father, and I was going to have this objective approach to family life. And then during the process, that all fell apart on me, and I started getting more and more emotional and feeling different things. And really, it was just like rolling down a hill, kind of, you know, in a good way. You know what I mean? I really had no idea how to feel going through the process, and it was great that like different moments and different images would spark these feelings. And with some paintings, I would just do a little bit, and then I would stand there and I'd be like, okay, this painting is finished, and there's something lost here that I think is beautiful. And the next one, and there was a little few cry days, you know, and there's a couple pieces that are hyper emotional for me that I don't even really like to go to that part of the gallery too much, you know. Mm-hmm. But I knew that the only chance for me to like make something that was, you know, important was to be just as honest as just pukingly honest, you know. So, and I just had no choice but to be just as honest as possible, because if not, it would have been, you know, it would have felt strange and arbitrary to me, you know what I mean? And I didn't want that, you know. So
Jay, you know, we talked about one of the themes was sort of your family and maybe trying to put people in that position who might relate to it, right? Mm-hmm. You one of the more difficult paintings that you've expressed painting had to do with maybe a traumatic incident in your life.
Can you
share a little bit more about that?
Uh-huh. There's a very small and subtle painting, and the intention was for that. That's kind of in the middle of the gallery, positioned on this black velvet wall. And the painting is actually of a friend of mine who, about 7 years ago, we were rafting on the Brazos, and I had had a hard day. My ex-girlfriend was there, and we hadn't really like connected. She's a wonderful girl, but at the time I was feeling nervous, so I kind of floated back with him, and we were playing, and he was being a good friend, and we were messing with each other. And then we came around a corner, and I flipped him over in his raft. And apparently you can swallow one liter of water, and it'll send your body into shock, and he never came back up. And it was this hard, strange, traumatic, accidental moment in my life. And I just knew that I needed to kind of express, because he was a very close friend of mine, but there was people to him, like family and best friends and cousins and so forth, that were much closer to him. And it was a really strange thing to paint somebody who, intentionally or on accident, I maybe have, you know, removed from the world. And so that was a really hard moment, but at the same time, I think that I really wanted to give him his opportunity to like be there and be seen as a small child in this moment of innocence, you know, before life kind of sweeps you up, you know, and just takes you away. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that I was dripping with tears when I was kind of painting that one. But I talked about it in my artist talk, because it was important that those moments, those little mistakes, that everyone, you know, everyone poops, everyone, you know, and that's a larger idea of that. But yeah, I mean, that's the same concept, that everyone has these small accidental moments in life that kind of shape you the next, you know, 40 years of who you are, and someone else's 40 years, you know.
Can I ask why you felt it was, I mean, I think you kind of touched upon it there, mm-hmm. but why was it important for you to maybe finally paint about this? And maybe you've done it personally, right? Maybe you have sketches or,
right, you know, yeah. I think it was finally there because this show was this breathingly honest point about, and for me, there was a lot of like forgiveness and kind of apologizing in the show to different people in my life. And I think that he was the one that I had you know, because even though obviously this was just a crazy accident, there is an aspect of it that never leaves you, you know, and I needed to speak to that, you know, that like, and I know that there's, you know, that if he was to be here, there probably wouldn't be much blame on my end, but at the same time, and I needed to say something to him in this moment, and I didn't want to make it this toweringly important piece in the show. I wanted it to have its small weight and its own intention, and so I just, you know, wanted to put it there and let it exist, you know what I mean, for me. And of all the other ones, there's a larger message that was given out to other people, but that one was specifically just for me, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was cool to sneak that into as well, so that like I got this feeling of resolution, I think, out of it, you know?
Yeah. And you know, what's really funny is you kind of touched upon something in my head that I think a lot of audiences think that work is for them. And in a way it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's to be appreciated,
right,
and to be seen. But sometimes the creative process calls for you to get satisfaction as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And can you talk about maybe even that as well? Because I don't know, maybe like for me as a reporter, I have to also remember, like, okay, I have an audience.
Yeah.
I can't just like go crazy. Yeah. So,
no, you know, yeah. I fully subscribe to that idea. I love that my work is largely not for me, you know what I mean? And that's why that big controversy with George Lucas trying to update Star Wars was a problem, because that is a foundation for so many people's, you know, creative process and understanding of their world. And so I love that idea. I subscribe to that yes, once this work is finished, hopefully you can own it and put yourself into it, because I'll never see the show for the first time. So I'll never truly actually own it as a approachable work, you know? So, but yes, at the same time, it is so relieving as a creative to be able to put yourself into these pieces and hide keys and secrets into them, you know, that you'll always know and that no one ever will. And this show is packed full of those. There is so many tiny little like moments that I injected into these works that are only going to be for me forever, and I love that they're there. And it's great. So like, I can walk away from this and years later see it in someone's house and walk in and go, ah, you've had that for 10 years and you really don't know about this thing that, you know, that I'll always get to know, you know? And so that's the fun part about being the artist, is you get to inject your small things into that world, you know?
Yeah. Before we got going on this interview, I was talking to you about, you've been really busy, you know, and I met you just about a year ago this time, and you were helping to start an arts collective called Art Tooth, after just having another arts collective called
yeah.
Bobby Meets Drums.
Bobby on Drums.
Bobby yeah. on Drums, excuse
yeah.
me. And so that's actually a pretty busy year on top of that. But, you know, for your own solo professional practice in art, you know, can you talk about this at least the past, like, 6 months?
It's been 2 years. It's been the craziest 2 years.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what I mean, to go back farther. But
sure, go
it
ahead.
Started with this large, we did this giant installation show called Bobby on Drums, and it was part of the collective group, and it was like I did 6 installations, and a couple of other artists did like 2, 3, 4 each, and then we had a few other artists come in, and we did this big 10,000 square foot space, and it was giant. And then from then it was just rolling. It was just thing after thing. I did a large sculpture for the Fort Worth Art South residency, and then that rolled right into a show of my first show here at Fort Works at their opening. And then straight into Art Tooth and more Bobby on Drum shows, and we had a space, and at the same time we were doing these simultaneously small shows mm-hmm. for local artists, and I mean, it's been wonderful. I think the reason that I wanted to move so fast and so hard is because there's so many avenues. Fort Worth is just so graciously open to things here. Like, they're like, well, we'd love for you to come and paint at the Bass Hall for the opera. Also simultaneously, here's a strange building on the south side that you can do a small show in if you want. And I've had to literally like stop myself from taking every opportunity because, you know, it's dizzying. But I think that what's great is that like there's been more and more options and opportunities for artists, you know, who are emerging to kind of get one chance, you know what I mean? One chance here, one chance there. And I thought that, you know, the more of those I could create, the better, you know? And Art Tooth really was kind of the first professional practice for like making a kind of like abstract gallery to help these artists who are between house shows and gallery shows, and who are like in this void of of taking the next step and are taking it professionally and want that. And R2 has done such a great job of doing that. And unfortunately, I've had to kind of move to other things because it just keep happening. But the team who runs R2 now is amazing. You know,
I feel like one of the things I need to ask you is, I saw you as an installation artist first. I'm seeing you as an oil painter now. What's next? Like, are you about to get into like lighting fireworks shows?
Yeah. Fireworks shows. I was just going to say J in the air with the big explosions. Painting, I'll always love painting. Painting is like where I started, and it'll probably be where I die, and I'll continue that forever. But yeah, I don't know all of it. You know, I am working to do a large bronze sculpture this year for a new park in Fort Worth, and some little opportunities like that. They're kind of strange. They're kind of coming out of nowhere I've never really approached. But I don't know. I want to do a lot more. I really want to get back into the installation, try to understand how that fits into my painting. And I think that's the big thing, is figuring out how to connect all the worlds into a more simultaneous world. You know, like guys like Gerhard Richter and Ai Weiwei and some of these boys who just kind of feel like as if they're boundless. You know what I mean? They kind of just sink in my head sometimes, and I think, man, I could just, you know, maybe I'll just redesign the building. You know, I'm not really close to that, but it's in my head, you know. Yeah. So,
well, Jay, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Hadi. That was great.
Yeah, no problem.